I just want to share the title today. I've titled the message, From the Cross to the Throne Room. And so many people get fixated on the cross, and I realise and understand that without the power of the cross, without the fact that Jesus went to the cross, without the fact that he died on the cross, we would have no salvation. And so the fact of knowing that the cross is important to us is critical, yeah. But that is not the end of the journey. Hi there in America, Edward and Jackie. They've come on Messenger.
Hi.
The cross is the beginning of our journey. And we've not got to stay around the cross, but we've to move on from that part of the cross, and we've to move on the journey that the Lord has set before us. And the journey for each and every one of us is to actually enter into God's throne room, to actually enter into God's presence. And so it's a journey that we travel both physically and spiritually towards God with Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, with the Holy Spirit within our hearts and lives. And the other thing is, so people can fixate themselves on the tomb. Grace and I, we went to Israel one time, and we went to what is believed to be the garden tomb where Jesus had been laid. And many people come there and sort of worship there at times. But again, the important thing we have to remember is the tomb is empty.
Mm.
It's an empty tomb, there are empty grave clothes, and it's not something that we stay focused on. And so we don't need to be just fixating ourselves on the cross. There are folk who have Jesus still on the cross, on the crucifix.
Mm.
And, you know, they think that is something to focus and worship. But for each and every one of us, it is actually about a personal relationship.
Mm.
It is a personal experience that we have with the Lord Jesus that is so important to each and every one of us. And so as we journey along with God, we realize that the power and the presence of God in our lives is important. And so let's just look for a little while, and let's have a look in Matthew chapter 28. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, verses 5 through to 7. The angel said, "And now go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you." Now, right there and then, when the women go to the tomb, the disciples go there, the angel turns to them and gives them a message and tells them, go to Galilee, because Jesus has left the tomb. Jesus has not stayed at the tomb. He's moved on. And so we have to realize it's important that we have to move on from the tomb. We have to move on from the cross and move on with our lives into a deeper experience and a deeper relationship with him. Because the journey, the destination is the throne room, the presence of God. And so we read then in, that Jesus also tells them in verses 9 and 10. It says, and behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came and looked and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me. So again, not only does the angel tell them, don't hang around here, but Jesus actually tells them, don't hang around here. Head to Galilee. In other words, begin the journey. Begin the process of moving forward in God. Begin that journey to find Christ in a deeper way. Don't just sit there and worship him, but move on with our lives, because it is important that we move on. And so from the cross, the journey, the race begins.
Amen.
You know, Paul talks about that we run the race. And as we run the race, we have to know what the end is, where the end is. We have to look to the finishing line. I know when I was at school, I was a good sprinter. And, you know, the goal was to head for that finishing line and to get there as fast as possible. Some folk used to love to do the marathons. I hated marathons. I was not a marathon runner. But sometimes these days, spiritually, I'm having to be a marathon runner. And it's hard at times to concentrate and press through. But Paul says we're to run the race. So the race begins at the cross. In our lives, we are to follow the Christ. We are to follow Christ. That's the important thing. We don't follow what the media is saying. There's so much media going on out there. There's so much fear-mongering in this time of this lockdown that we're all in. And there are measures feeling that there's great control going to come over people and people's lives. But let me tell you this, and I've said this before and I'm going to keep saying it. God is far above all those things. God is well able to keep us in that we're accustomed to and even greater.
Yeah.
But it is about our relationship that will bring us to that place and bring us to the place where God is covering for us. Do you believe that we serve a God of miracles?
Amen.
I do. When I read it in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we have a God of miracles. He kept over 2 million people, the Jews, with water, with food, and he looked after them for 40 years in the wilderness. They had a journey to take. And God was able to sustain them, to keep them, and to equip them. And so in the same way, the God has not changed. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not.
Amen.
And so we have to realize that God can provide for us in every situation and every circumstance. He is well able.
Mm.
And we have to trust him in that and believe that he's going to do that for us. And so we can thank God for his caring ability to do that in our lives. Praise his wonderful name. So, today, what do we do? We need to, as we run this race, we need to realize that the Word of God is a roadmap.
Amen.
It's our GPS to the end of the race. That's what it is. And so, without the Word of God, we don't know which way the track's going. Without the Word of God, we don't know where our finishing line is. And so we need the Word of God to be our roadmap, our GPS, as we run the race. Because, you see, along the race that we are running, I wouldn't say it's an obstacle race. It's a bit like one of those challenge competitions where we used to do car quizzes where we'd set things up for people to... clues to find and things to find, etc. And we used to do those things. And in the same way, the journey that we travel today, the journey that Grace and I have been traveling for over 50 years, has been a journey of finding things. It's been a journey of things being revealed to us as we've traveled along and we've sought out and found different things and been introduced to different things. And so, it is not being just simply running, and nothing there to keep your mind focused. But as we journey with God, there are things along that journey, along as we travel that race, there are things that are there for us to find and to do. And so this is why we need God's roadmap, because the roadmap, the GPS system, keeps us in touch with God. It keeps us in tune with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants you to know what God is saying. He wants you to know what God is doing right now. And so it's important that we begin to run this race. We need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, who will place a light on the path as we run this race together. And so it's important that we do. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. That's Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And Paul's saying, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, he says here, he says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. Now that word perfect there is teleo, meaning that I have yet finished or attained to the prize or goal. So in other words, we're trying to finish, we're trying to get to that place. We're not yet perfect, but we are moving on our journey to that place of perfection. And so it's important that we do that. You see, our race has a goal. Our race, the journey that we travel, God has a plan. You know, God intended that you and I should meet. And God will arrange situations and circumstances. As far as our lives are concerned, things do not happen by coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
They are planned. And we need to follow the plans. We need to journey the journey. It's like just a few months ago, it's just over 12 months ago now, we were in America, delayed on a flight. I know I've mentioned this before. And we met Jackie, our senior air stewardess, and just in conversation we got sharing and suddenly discovered that we were each believers in Christ. And you know that moment Jesus knits us all together, because mm-hmm. suddenly we find another sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not in the same country, we're over 3,000 miles away, but yet we have that connection, we have that oneness, and we have that caring and compassion one for another. And that only happens through Christ. Suddenly there is, our spirits were knit together, and there's a joining together of one another. And it's not about culture, it's not about colour, it's not about creed, it's about Christ.
Amen.
And it's the Christ that is in us that causes us, and that Spirit of God that just joins us together, that links us together. It's like, you might not have seen somebody for a long time, like Robert, who's come on today, haven't seen him in a long time. But the thing that knits us together is the journey that we're on, Christ. And that is what joins us together. And so together we travel this journey. And it might be that for some reason Robert has just turned up into our lives, because God has a plan. God has got something within the race that we're running, that suddenly God is preparing and doing things. That is exciting, because God is the master of arranging things in such a wonderful way. And so let's run this race. Verse 13 says, no, brothers and sisters, I am still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. What's this one thing? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead of me.
Amen.
Paul is saying, look, come on. Don't start looking behind you. Don't start focusing on what's happened to you in the past. Take your eyes off that. Look to the future. Look to the goal. Look to the destiny. You know, when you play tennis, the thing that you concentrate on most of all is the ball. If you don't concentrate on where the ball is, you will guarantee missing the ball. I know I played tennis for quite a while. I used to play against Ken quite often. And most of the time, he used to beat me, if not all the time. But you know, I would not give up, would I, Ken? I just kept on and on. You know, I was prepared to keep. Even when I'm losing, I'm still going to fight. I don't care what. I'm to the last ball. I will fight all the way. You know, and so in the same way, we run this race, and not everything goes the way we want it to go. But guess what? Jesus is with us, and he's there and causing us to know his presence and his power working in our lives. Praise his wonderful name. And so Paul is saying, don't look at your past. Because if you start to look at your past, every one of us have got things in our past that will pull us down. Every one of us have got things that we regret we ever did. We regret that we ever said. But we have to move on from that. And thankfully, God forgives us and God calls us to move on. But if we keep focusing on historical things and just looking at the past, whether good or bad, it will hold us back from moving on to the things that God has for us in the future. The things that have happened in the past can be used to form and shape us, to deal with us, and to cause us to become stronger in our faith, cause us to become stronger in our walk with the Lord Jesus. And so it's important that we move on from the past, because you can't run towards a goal looking backwards, because you will fall over at some time. You will come a cropper. And so the journey is to look forward beyond where you are now. Robert, being a coach driver, he will tell you that when you're driving a big coach loaded up with all the people, there's a lot of weight there. And so he's taught to look further in the distance than anybody else, so that he can anticipate what is going to happen before it happens, so that he can prepare the braking, the gear changing, his positioning before he arrives there, and then he will give you a smooth, pleasant journey. Let's move to verse 14. And Paul says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Even Paul says, you know, God is calling us up to a heaven. The journey that we live, the journey of our life, is not a journey just for our life on earth. Our journey is for being called up to heaven, to be into the presence of God. But you know, we today, as believers, can come into the presence of God that is far beyond our understanding. We can experience God in a way that no one else is experiencing him. We can find the presence of our Heavenly Father and begin to learn to live in the attitude of praise and worship and the blessing of God into our lives. And so, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, he's encouraging us, strain to reach the end of the race. You know, don't pack it in, don't quit, don't give in, but continue to run that race. Because as we run the race with our eyes fixed on our end goal, and our end goal is that we will enter into the presence of God, we will enter the very throne room of God. That is the desire that God has for us. That is God's plan for us. Because right again, we go back to Genesis, and God wanted to spend time in the Garden of Eden with his creation, Adam and Eve. And so today, the plan hasn't changed. No matter what is going on in the world today, the plan has not changed as far as God is concerned. Well, God is about you and I coming into his presence. It is about you and I knowing him whom to know is life eternal. And it is about coming into that deeper relationship. And so, for me, we have to realize that it is about this personal relationship that God wants for us. God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to speak to him. God wants you to have this one-to-one with him. This is why God created us. This is why we were birthed into this life. And so we need to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, fixed on the finishing line we're running towards, looking forward, not looking back. Because if we look back, we're guaranteed to stumble and fall. If we look back, we'll tumble over things that were in our lives, because the devil will always remind you about the things of the past, your failures. The devil will never remind you about things you did that were great for God, will he? Have you noticed that? He only reminds you of your failures, your mistakes, your weaknesses. He never tells you about your strengths. He never tells you about your victories that you had over him. He never mentions any of them. But he targets every bit of weakness that we have. And thank God, you know, it's when I am weak, then I am strong through Christ dwelling in each and every one of us. And so we have to press in and look towards these things. And so Paul focuses on all his energies, he's saying. I'm focusing all my energy on looking forward to what lies ahead. Today, ask yourself a question. What lies ahead today for you? And folk might say, well, I'm in lockdown. There don't seem to be much. Let me tell you this. Jesus is far beyond lockdown.
Amen.
God is far above all principalities and powers.
Yeah.
God is above all rulers. And God will change circumstances and situations. When the children of Israel were in prison for 400 years, they got the wages of 400 years worth given to them when they left Egypt. And so God is well able to deal. And if our nations will turn and repent to God, as we as individuals come into that relationship before God, God will provide for us. You know, when there was famine in the land, Abraham was blessed.
Amen.
Right? When there was lack in the land, Abraham had the abundance.
Amen.
Right? And so, you know, he's a child of God. And we're in that same relationship. We're under a greater covenant now than the covenant that Abraham had. And so in the covenant that we have now, we can come into the presence of God. We can know the power of God. And we can know God's deliverance. We can know God's provision, even if it has to be in a miraculous way. Because I serve and worship a miraculous God. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, and he raised others, then, hey, let me tell you this. My God is a miraculous working God. I trust your God is a miraculous working God. I believe that we need to get to that place. The church needs to move into that realm of the miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because today the world is sick and tired of words.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, as we run the race, when you're running a marathon, the marathon runners, as they run the race, along that race, there is sustenance there for them to take.
Yeah.
There's refreshments for them to take. Is that right? And so as they partake of that refreshment, there is a refreshing to them that helps to spur them on. Our refreshing, our sustenance, first of all, is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our sustenance is prayer, conversation with God. See, prayer is just a conversation that we're having with God our Father. Because that's about a relationship. And so as we travel in the journey together, our relationships with each other can be part of the sustenance that helps us travel that journey, that race as we run towards God's throne room, as we run towards God's heavenly kingdom, as we journey in that together. So let's keep our eyes fixed on that goal. Verse 15 says, let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude. If in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Now this word perfect here, let therefore, as many are perfect, is a different meaning, is a different word to the word in Philippians 12. When he says, we're already perfect. It's a different word that he uses in the Greek. And that word is teleos. In other words, it means come to adulthood. Come to a place of maturity. It means come into God's absolute perfection. Wow. So here Paul is saying in Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many of us are perfect, as many of us have come to adulthood and maturity and God's absolute perfection. Wow. I know I'm not perfect yet, but I do know this. The race, the journey that I'm on is a journey towards perfection.
Mm.
Because nothing imperfect, nothing impure can enter heaven. So the journey must be part of being perfected in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
The journey must be for you and I to know the Christ in such a precious way that it brings us to a place of absolute perfection, because that's God's intention. Because again, when God created us in the beginning, he looked at everything and it was good, it was perfect. Now, you might look at each other and think, well, so-and-so's not perfect, and they're not perfect, and pastor's not perfect. We all know that.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is that we are on the journey of perfection, and when God looks at us, he looks through the blood of Christ Jesus, and through looking through the blood of Christ Jesus, he says, it is finished. The work is done. And therefore, Dharma's perfect. Daniel's perfect. Mm-hmm. Chris is perfect. And yet we could turn around and say, well, you don't really know them like we know them, God. Well, guess what? He does. And he knows that every one of us have our journey to make. And in that journey, we are coming to that final point of perfection. And God is moving in our lives. And so we have to come to the place of adulthood, of maturity, God's perfection. So basically, for each and every one of us, man is in a process. And we're moving, as we move forward in this race to the throne room, we're moving forward to God's goal of perfection. This is where we're at. This is all about why Christ died, so that Christ actually could be formed in each and every one of us.
Amen.
You see, it's about Christ being formed in you, that you being made in the image of Christ.
Amen.
And Paul speaks, and he says, be ye not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Amen.
Romans 12 and chapter 1. And he says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. When we come before God, we're coming as a living sacrifice. We're coming before God, and we're coming as a spiritual service of worship. When we're coming before God, we come to worship God, not to come and beg from him. Because I tell you this, when we're in relationship and we worship God, God knows what our needs are, even before we ask him.
Yeah.
I've known in my life, in my journey, in my race that I'm running, that God has provided even before I've asked. Mm-hmm. It was a thought, oh, I'll ask God about that, and the next thing, suddenly God has provided. And I remember we were dealing with a mortgage situation on our house. And things were difficult in getting finance. And I thought, I need to talk to God about this. And I went for this interview for a mortgage. And when I came out, they'd given us everything that we needed. And I stood outside for a moment and I'm saying to myself, wow, what just happened? And the Lord said to me, I gave you what you needed before you even asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was amazing, that he knew my very thoughts. He knew the very intents and desires of my heart, and God met them even before I had an opportunity to actually verbalize them before him. But that's how much in tune God is with each and every one of us.
Mm.
And so God wants you to know him and to know his presence. Verse 2 of Romans 12 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That perfect is the same teleos that we've just spoken about, that it's about this process of adulthood, of maturity. It's about God's perfection. And so it's about God coming into us and actually bringing us to the place of absolute, total perfection. This is what God is into doing. God is not going to create a second-rate believer.
Amen.
God is about creating one who is perfect, made in the image of Christ. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
And so God is at work in each and every one of us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What is he trying to do? He's trying to bring us to that maturity. He's trying to bring us to the full measure of Christ. Christ was perfect. And he's trying to bring us to that image. He's trying to bring us to that fullness of Christ so that we are formed in the image of Christ and knowing his presence in our lives day by day. So that as we journey, as we travel this journey, as we run this race, that we will find Christ as our provider, that we'll know the roadmap along this journey. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 to 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, even there, Paul is talking about you and I coming to a place of maturity. Verse 14, solid food is for the mature. Spiritual food he's talking about. He's not talking about food that we eat on the table, but he's using these analogies that when you have a baby, you feed it on mush and very light food and liquids, till you bring it to a place, when it comes to a place of maturity, where it can chew on meat. And the important thing is that we allow ourselves to be brought to maturity, so that now we are feeding on the meat and the presence and the power of God's word that brings us to that place of perfectness. This is where God is taking us through this journey. The journey into the throne room will bring us to the point of absolute total perfection. That is what has got to happen for us. We've read about Enoch walked with God. So we are to move on in this life with Christ. We're to move on come to the place of maturity, that we are partaking and eating of the mature word of God. In other words, day by day as we open the Bible, day by day as we talk to God, God will cause us to know and to understand his word in a very much deeper way. It is not just words on a page. It is not basically a flat letter. This book is three-dimensional. And God will cause you to see something. You can have read your Bible time and time and time again, and then suddenly you read your Bible and the passage of Scripture is like illuminated to you. It's like there is a light that has come on that passage, and God suddenly gives it a depth and dimension, and he turns it around and he shows you different things of the meaning of the word, and he brings you into himself into a deeper way. What he does, he opens up himself and he reveals himself in such a precious way, and he allows you to come into his presence and receive the depth of him and an understanding of him that you've never ever seen before. And that's what the word of God will do for us as we are led by the Holy Spirit. But it is about this relationship of running together and pressing forward in this race towards the throne room, because that's where it is. What is our prize? What is the prize that we are running towards? Because he talks in Paul about the race that we run, the prize of the high calling. What is the prize that we're running to? The prize is to be formed in the image of Christ.
Amen.
The prize is to be like Jesus. There's an old hymn that we used to sing on chorus, to be like Jesus, to be like him. And you know, as we sing those old songs at times, they may not be as boppy and dancey at times, but the power and the presence of the word of God in them changes lives.
Yeah.
And that is the important thing. It's not about how good you can dance, it's about what's your relationship with the Christ.
Yeah.
How deep does this go? Because when we come to a place of depth and strength in Christ, it takes us on into a greater walk with him. Because in this training that God has for us, it's like a training for reigning. God wants to equip us to rule and reign. God wants to equip us to have authority.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and chapter 18, "Behold, I give you all power and all authority in my name." Wow. There are people going around, and I know many Christians who go around and they don't have a clue that God has given them authority through Christ Jesus to deal with, take over, take control of situations and circumstances. Oh, I can't do anything about it. Well, read your Bible, because the Bible tells you, yes, you can. Mm. Jesus said, "I give you the power and thought." He gave us power over demons. And the Word of God says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And you know, we can, as we pray, we can change the direction of politicians.
Amen.
And so we have to realize this, that God has given us power, given us authority, and we sat with it, and we're not using it. And it is time to rise up and to use that which we have, instead of being quiet and dormant. You know, people say, "Oh, well, as you get older, Andrew, you'll calm down." Well, it's not happening. I'm still as radical.
Amen.
And I'm still going to stay that way. And try and get probably more radical, I suppose, in one sense. But with following the Word of God, following the teachings of Christ. I know Daniel's just, we put up a message that I preached in the 1978, Grace reminds me, a message I preached there on the battle for the mind. I would recommend that you go on our website and look for that recording, Battlefield for the Mind. Or it's Battle for the Mind, that was it. And wow, it made me sit up and think again. And you know, I would recommend that you listen to that and just find that on the website. Hebrews chapter 12. I've entitled this part just here, "God's discipline in our lives proves his love for us."
Yeah.
God's discipline in our lives proves his love for us. Some folk don't like discipline. When you discipline some people or discipline a child, they think because you're doing it, you don't love them. Well, guess what? The discipline is because you absolutely love them and care for them, and you want the best for them. And sometimes discipline does not come easy, but it is important in our lives. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 starts with this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down." Now, when you're running a race in Christ, you actually run a race, and you see the athletes these days, they strip down to the barest so that nothing will cause any drag, nothing will stop them running faster and faster. And so the Word of God, Paul sees, he says, strip off every weight that slows us down. Get rid of the things that are slowing you down in your relationship with God. Get rid of those things that are preventing you from moving on to a deeper, more powerful relationship with him. Every hindrance to be removed. And he goes on, he says, and especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress.
Yeah.
"And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." You know, there are times when there are things that hinder us. There can be relationships that hinder us. There can be things that we do that hinder us. And what we have to do, Paul says, is remove them.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. And as we do that, then God will cause us to press into him in a deeper way. We will press on further. We will have the endurance to run this race that God has set before us. The race to the throne room. Verse 2. "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish." You know, to endure to the end of the race, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes fixed on him, because our faith depends on fixing our eyes on Jesus. And as we fix our eyes upon him, he says, then it will help us by having our eyes fixed on Jesus, it actually helped us start the race.
Yeah.
And by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, it will also help us to finish the race. And so we have to realize it's not just about the starting of the race, but it is about the finishing of the race.
Amen.
You know, Paul talks about, you know, you started well, but what hindered you? What got in your way?
Yeah.
And so we need to really realize that everything that hinders us needs to be pushed to one side so that Christ comes first. It says that in verse 2 that he, Christ, was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew will be his after. Sorry, because of the joy he knew will be afterwards. He is seated in places of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. What's the joy? The joy of what Christ did is the fact of seeing you and seeing me running this very race, coming into the presence of God and knowing him whom to know is life eternal. Verse 3 says, think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him so that you would not become weary and you would not give up. Don't become weary in the race. Don't give up in the race. You know, if you're feeling weary, then let somebody draw alongside you. Let them encourage you. Let them strengthen you, because God is calling you. And God is calling your name.
Yeah.
God is in his throne room shouting your name towards the finishing line.
Mm-hmm.
He knows your name. Yeah. And he's calling you. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 through to 10. What is your calling? Revelation chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. For thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.
Amen.
And they sang a new song. Worthy. There's a chorus, in fact there's a chorus taken from this same chapter in Revelation verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessings. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy. And you know, as we worship him and realise, it says worthy, he's the only one worthy to break the seals on that book. He's the only one who's worthy that was able to purchase you and I with his blood. That from every tribe and every tongue and every nation that God has been able to purchase you and I through that great sacrifice on the cross. But we've moved on. We're now holding the hand of God. We're moving forward. Because Jesus gave us those commandments, go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead and cast out demons. And so, from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, this price has been paid for you and I to move on in God. And so as we move on in God, it's great to see God moving into our lives in a deeper way. Because God is calling us to be a kingdom of priests unto our God. You're called to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
You're called to be a holy person. You're called to be a person who will reach out and touch and change people's lives. That's what you're called for. That's who you are. The prize that is ours has been purchased through the death
and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let's you and I press on, running towards the throne room of God, running into the outstretched arms of God, our Heavenly Father. That reminds me of the parable where Jesus spoke about the prodigal son. And where was the father? The father was at the finishing line.
Amen.
The father was there every day, looking out for his son, with his arms open wide, waiting for him to run into his arms. And when, you know, God is going to greet us and meet us. Jesus shared that picture of God the Father and his love towards us. And he's going to make a great feast for us. And so God is there waiting for us, shouting our name. The angels are calling us on. We're encompassed about by a great host of witnesses.
Amen.
And the angels are calling our names. They don't fully understand it, but they know there's a race that is on. And that God is for this, and that the people of God are involved in this. And that they are involved in it too. And so they're calling us on. You know, Jesus triumphed over sin, over death, and over the grave. You know, this was an outright victory. This was an annihilation of the power of the devil over our lives. And remember that today. Today, the death and resurrection of Jesus is about a total annihilation of the power of the devil over our lives. And the fact of the matter is, what happens is, we surrender our authority, we surrender our power to the devil, and we allow him to do things in our lives. We allow him to twist us and to shape us and to move us into doing the wrong things. When yet God has said, I've given you the power, I've given you the authority, and you begin to move in it. I've told you to run the race and to run it with purpose. To run it with an energy and a power that I've given to you. I've given you all that you need to be able to run this race to arrive at my throne room. And so God is calling us to do that and to come into his throne room and his power and his presence.
Amen.
And you know, it saddens me when I hear so many Christians who, well, we should be optimists.
Amen.
But often they're just pessimists. And they're groaning under the weight of the race. They're groaning under the journey. You know, we'll never move people to Christ if we're groaning under the journey, under the race that we're running. Because they don't want to hear groans and moans. They want to hear victory. They want to hear the joy of God in our lives. They want to see purpose. You see, there are many people living in this world today, and they have no purpose. They have no purpose in their lives. And it's important that, you know, we are called to give purpose to people's lives and allow God to move in power and in his presence into people's lives. But yeah, it saddens me when we hear Christians groaning. You know, the world will not change with groans and moans. The world will change when the Spirit of God is in us, when there's a shout of victory upon our lips. That is when we will affect this world. When the victory that Christ has done in our lives, you see, the work of the cross is to affect our minds. It is to affect our bodies. It is to affect our nervous system. Everything about us, it is touching the attitude of our souls. And when it touches our souls and touches and changes our attitude towards things, then this then begins to be the key of life. And this is the, you know, the key of life is what will affect the earth and the people around us. Is how you and I react. We change things. We move things forward. Because God has given us, as I said earlier, the power and the authority. And if you will allow the word of God to operate in your mind, it will bring you to a place of a good mental state. It will bring you to a good physical state. It will bring, because this is being done through the Spirit of God acting in us. And when the Spirit of God is acting in us, we don't listen to the dark side of things. We just hear ourselves being ministered to by the Word of God. You see, so many people talk about, oh, well, pull yourself together, do this and do that. But, you know, you cannot pull yourself up over, you can't lift yourself up over a fence by just getting hold of your boot laces and saying, I'm going to lift my leg over and get over this fence. You can't do it that way. It's not possible. And so many people are trying to do things in the natural when actually we need to deal with things in the spiritual. It's about you and I being in a good spiritual state. And as we're in that good spiritual state, we'll see God moving in power. The secret of a successful Christian lifestyle is having Christ to fully possess us. It's having Christ fully into our hearts. And it's being yielded to him so that his victory and his consciousness and his power and his purpose become into your spirit and into your mind. And when we allow the mind of Christ to come into us and to possess us in such a way, we will run this race. Our destiny, we will realize, is the throne room of God. And that God's plan for us is to arrive at that throne room in victory.
Amen.
To arrive at the throne room in power and authority. And not as an escape route. It is not an escape route. It is a race to run in power and victory towards Christ. And so as we run this race, let us run to that throne room believing and knowing, you know, the blessings of God are upon each and every one of us. We just have to begin to realize that. You know, the word tells us God made us kings. It's not because of what we do. It's not because of who we are. But it's all because of the grace and the work of God that works in our lives. And it is God who is going to do his good pleasure in our lives. And God's mm-hmm. good pleasure today is that you run this race, that you leave the cross and you run to the throne room and you know the presence and power of God. Our destiny is the throne room of God. Amen.
Amen.